Hello, and welcome to your meditation practice as part of the Open Heart Project. My name is Susan Piver, and I am very, very happy to be able to sit with you in meditation. We're going to sit together today for our traditional 10 minutes. We're going to start momentarily, so take your seat and get settled, whether you're seated on a cushion, on the floor, with your legs crossed loosely in front of you, or in a chair with your feet flat on the floor. And according to ancient wisdom, both sitting on the floor and sitting on a chair are equally spiritual. I'll give the full instruction. If you are used to hearing the instruction and you would rather not hear so much instruction, at a certain point when you've heard enough, you can just turn the volume down and practice with more silence if you wish. As we get settled, I want to share with you something that I call, I think I made this up, the big switch. Although it might have been made up by Chogyam Trungpa Rinpoche, the Tibetan meditation master. So forgive me if I'm plagiarizing. What is the big switch? What are we switching? What does meditation have to do with this? Why is she saying this at all? So, I was thinking about this big switch when I was talking to a friend of mine, a wonderful teacher and writer named Michael Carroll, who writes about mindfulness at work. He wrote a book called Awake at Work. It's fantastic. The Mindful Leader, unsurprisingly, also fantastic. And he was telling me about his most, he advises executives on mindfulness and leadership and so on. And he was telling me when he works with clients who are involved in intense negotiations, what his killer negotiating tactic is that so far in all cases kind of slays the opposition, as it were, allows his clients' wishes to be fulfilled. Sounds kind of magical. And here is his advice for slaying opposition during business negotiations. And it is the following: to seek to maximize the other person's position. So it's not fake. It's not a manipulation. It's not a smokescreen. You genuinely enter the negotiation with the genuine wish, not to disregard your own agenda, but to help the other person maximize their position. And somehow, even though it's counterintuitive and very un-American, as it were, this creates uncertainty and confusion, even, in the opposition, and also seeks to offer them something at the same time. So anyway, it's very interesting. And what does that have to do with us? So we all walk around afraid. I will put myself in the front of this line, terribly afraid of being hurt by other people, being misunderstood, being yelled at. I hate that one. Being overlooked, attacked, misled, manipulated, and so on. The list goes on forever and ever. And we enter, again, I'll just speak for myself, the situations of my life already defended, assuming the worst, even with people I know and love. There's a part of me that's vigilant, like, could this go wrong? Could this hurt me? And of course, we all have to be very, very pragmatic and sensible with the way we relate to others. Can't be silly and naive. However, if this is the big switch part, in every interaction, and I suggest that you start this with small interactions, you know, when you buy your coffee in the morning from the coffee shop, or when you know, get on the bus and you have an interaction with the bus driver. Instead of thinking of yourself, could this be good for me? Could this be bad for me? Place your attention instead on the other person. with a sense of curiosity. Curiosity is the killer app, as it were, in human relationships. And there's a corollary in the negotiation technique of seeking to maximize the other person's position. First, you have to understand it. So what this means for us is we can drop concern, you know, while still being sensible and, you know, alert. We can stop trying to protect and defend ourselves as our first move in any situation, and instead become curious about the other person's experience. The switch is taking my attention off of this and placing it on this. And when it moves from here to here, something very interesting happens. Don't take my word for this. Try it yourself and see. This, rather than feeling neglected and even more vulnerable, actually starts to feel powerful and settled and seated and strong, without need for defense. When you're focused on the other person, how are you doing? What's happening for you? What is it like for you to be a bus driver? I'm not saying you have to ask these questions, but when you hand your money to the bus driver or your token or your card, whatever it may be, how do they take it from you? Are they grumpy? Are they tired? Are they just doing their job and completely normal? Whatever it is, just notice that. Take that in. Take them in. Place your attention, this is where the meditation part comes in, on them. That's all. You don't have to do anything besides that. Instead of on this. So placement of attention moves from here to here. And that's called power. So in our meditation practice, which we're going to start right now, we are working with seeing where our attention is, and then developing the muscle of redirection to purposefully bring that attention back to the object of our choosing, which in our practice is the breath, but at Starbucks is the person that's giving us our latte. Or, you know, when you come home is your child asking for a snack or whatever it might be. But when the attention moves from here to here, don't take my word for this. You must try it yourself and see. A sense of confidence and empowerment returns. And this is why, I presume, the Dalai Lama and other great teachers have said things along these lines. If you want to be unhappy, think of yourself. It doesn't mean care about yourself, because we all need to care about ourselves. It means obsess about yourself. If you want to be happy, think of others. Not because that makes you a nice person, particularly, although maybe it does, but because it takes this sense of agitation about who am I and where am I and what's happening to me out of the equation, and instead gives you a sense of expansiveness and graciousness in the way you move in the world. Don't take my word for it. I know I already said that several times. So we're going to practice now. We're going to practice cultivating placement of attention on the breath in meditation, so that when you rise from your meditation and go into your post-meditation experience, you have the capacity to place your attention on the people you encounter and the situations that you're in. That's why we're practicing, not to be great at being meditators, but to be great at being in the world. Love to hear your comments, as always. This is also PS, what is known as compassion. Just thought I'd stick that on at the end. Doesn't mean being nice, it means placing your attention generously on others. Okay, here we go. So begin your practice by sitting up straight and just forgetting about all the things I just said and whatever it may have evoked or not evoked in you. Just let all of that go, like you placed it on the ocean shore and a wave just came in and swept it out. Bye bye. And here we are, going to meditate together. Give your weight to your cushion or chair, meaning settle firmly. Now is our time to meditate. Boom, here we are. That's all we're doing. The hands rest palms down, mid-thigh or just above the knee. And just let the hands rest and take a break from all of their doing. Let the belly relax and the heart and lungs and the shoulders. Let weight roll off of you, because actually there is nothing back there. The chin is tucked a little bit, the back of the neck is long, the mouth is closed, but the lips and teeth are slightly parted, which helps the jaw and the muscles of speech to soften. The breath is natural, obviously. Just breathing. There's no breathing technique of any kind. You were breathing before you started meditating, so just keep doing that. The eyes are open, and the gaze is very soft and cast down to a spot a few feet in front or a few inches or whatever seems comfortable given the proximity of your screen. But wherever they rest, let there be a sense of, oh, my world now is limited to this space. This is all that's happening right now. And the crown of the head reaches up. Place your attention on your breath. Feel yourself breathing in and out. Feel the movements of the body in breath, an expansion and a release. An expansion and a release. The mind will continue to make thoughts. Good. That's what it does. Just like the eyes see and the ears hear, the mind thinks. However, that's not our focus right now. So the thoughts just keep happening, like seeing continues to happen, hearing continues to happen, but the attention is married to the breath. Resting on the breath. And if attention gets off of the breath and resumes absorption in thought, that is completely fine. Just say to yourself silently when you notice this, thinking. That's what's happening right now. I'm thinking. And then just let go, regardless of the content. I really mean that. And gently bring your attention back to the breath and take a fresh start. Breathing in and out. Thank you so much for your practice, and thank you so much for practicing together.